United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as part of the PTL club.
Yeah. and lose their lives. I said war. Good God, y'all.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Let's
get said again.
War.
Oh, Lord, Lord.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Listen to me.
War.
It ain't nothing but a heartbreak.
War.
Send only to the undertaker.
Does anybody really believe what I'm saying? Good afternoon, everybody. It's Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. It's Jeff in the air chair. How y'all doing today? Well, I hope you're doing well, and I hope that we're doing well across the country as well as here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial here in lovely Northeast Ohio and the Mahoning Valley, where we have more Democrats than anybody else in the country per capita. And so if you think you have it hard in your area, it's hard out here being a pimp. And that's all I got to tell you. And my name is Jeff. We're here talking to you about what's on our mind and trying to listen and talk to you about what's on your mind. Callers in the queue, if you want to talk, you know what to do. You hit the little one on your dial, and we will get you up and talking because we're ready to go with today's segment. It looks like we're going to launch some Tomahawk missiles. And so I want to know what people think about that because, you know, the last president that went in because, you know, the innocent people were being gassed was ridiculed and lambasted and called a warmonger and called every name in the book for wanting to go over there and do something. Now, I don't think that President Obama is going to do it. Now, that's my personal belief. I think since he did not take the word last year that we went to war, you know, that Mr. Assad gassed his own people last year when the United Nations, everybody had the proof, I just don't think he's going to do it this time. I don't think that he has it, you know, in his mind to go ahead and do something like that. Now, that's my personal belief. But if we do, we might be looking at World War III. Why? Because Russia and China are on the side of King Assad. And so, therefore, we have to see what's going to happen because they're parking destroyers off the coast as well as we are. So now, what are we going to do? We're going to show down because the WikiLeaks guy found, you know, sanctions in, you know, safety in Russia? Are his allegations true about the NSA in America? Catherine Sebelius, Homeland Security, is leaving today. She's getting out. I call it rats off a burning ship because, you know, once that ship burns, it's going to sink sooner or later. And the allegations are just coming too fast for us to ignore. Anybody that doesn't see that this has probably been one of the most corrupt cover-up administrations ever, including that of Mr. Richard M. Nixon, that they want to say was so terrible, and he wasn't, not as bad as they're saying. But it doesn't matter. We're dealing with this now. What are we going to do? 817, you are first up and ready. Go ahead. You can get cracking at it.
Hey, good morning, man. I am. You know, right now it's still morning in Texas. My theory on this, I've got to really say that where are we going to get the money from? We already talking about budget cut. We got the debt ceiling coming up in October. Where are we going to get the money at? We can't afford another war. Come on.
What do you mean? What do you mean? All you got to do is print more. All you got to do is print more. What are you talking about? That's what they've been doing for the past 2 years.
Well, come on. We all know if you print more money, the money's not going to be worth a lot of money.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I agree with you. Yeah, that's the way it is, too, because it's called inflation. You know, I don't see why people don't see it. I'm not understanding it at all. And I think that's one of the reasons why Mr. Obama is quite reluctant. But see, he started this mess over here in the Middle East. He created this Arab Spring over there, and he put the Muslim Brotherhood in charge of these countries, vis-a-vis Benghazi, in Libya, vis-a-vis the Egypt now having to overthrow the elected official because he was allowing the mass murder of Christians over in that country and get ready to destroy the pyramids and other artifacts that made the country at least have an economy. But see, radical Islam does not care about any of those things. If they aren't symbols of Islam, they're going to be destroyed. So what do you do with the people that are going to destroy the ancient artifacts of your country? And the reason why your country was even known, and the only thing that ties your country to the modern world now, because, you know, you were westernized to the point to where you had an economy. You were industrialized to a certain degree, and now you've allowed a group of people to come in and just completely annihilate that whole situation. Nobody's getting, there's not much work in the streets. There's not, it's terrible over there in how things are going. But look at what's going on. Look at what they're chanting for. They want more of the same. Go ahead, my friend.
Wow. Yeah, you make a good point when you say that. You really do.
I'm trying. I wish I could get us to wake up. Now, here it is. Now you're faced with a Iraq situation. Only in Iraq situation, we had a number of different objectives that we needed. We needed a supply point and jump off point to go into Afghanistan, possibly Pakistan if that country failed, because they have nuclear weapons already, and if their government fails, then we have to secure those weapons, or the Middle East is not going to be secure. That's number one. Number two, you have a jump-off point to get into Iran, who is trying desperately to get the bomb. If they get the bomb, you're in trouble. Now, George Bush and Bill Clinton and George Bush created the way for us to go in and get Saddam Hussein out of control, and so that we could get him, to have this jump off point. We got in, we did what we did. Now, Mr. President Obama has undone all of that, made that war worthless, where those lives have been now shed in vain. There's no peace for the Middle East right now, and if we attack, Russia is going to have something to say about it and or do about it. And you don't know what Syria still has that they got from Iraq before we were able to get over there and get the weapons that we gave him in the first place. So people, this is what I want you to understand. When we went into Iraq, we knew what weapons he had and what he didn't have, at least up to a year before. Why? Because we're the ones who supplied him the weapons that he had in his war against Iran. And as long as those two were fighting, nobody was going to develop the bomb real quick. Well, when they stopped fighting, then you started having Iran pressing pedal to the metal to get a bomb, and they're very close to getting it now. That's why you see Israel helping people in Syria to overthrow that government and so that they can try to buy themselves, you know, a situation in the Middle East. It's something to see. It's something to see. But I want to see what people are going to do about it, though, you know, because, you know, I have all of these huge supporters, you know, that I see on, you know, on my Facebook every day. And they are, you know, they're doing what they do and supporting the president. And you should support your president, but you have to start thinking whether what we're doing is something that's making sense or not.
Mm-hmm.
We're a Western nation. We're supposed to be open to all religions, although we're declaring war on Christianity here right now. Okay, we're trying to do that. So now, what are we going to do here? What are we going to support here? What are we going to do? I don't know. You tell me. Don't go nowhere. The numbers here are 1-347-945-5229 or our local number at 330-781-9600. This is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're talking to you about the developments that have just happened where it seems as though for another time that they're going to recognize this time that the government of Syria has used chemical weapons against its people. They did it last year, and it was very documented that they did it, and President Obama said, well, I need proof. I need proof. I don't trust this. It's not this, that, and other, whatever, and they're not going to do it. So now, we're left in this position.
Wow.
So what do you think, my friend?
From looking at this on CNN News, I'm looking at this thing right now on their page right now, and it said the U.S. are ready to go. So,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. They ready for it. But
well, they're ready to throw some. Yeah, they're ready to throw some missiles in. And then, you know, Hagel's talking that noise, you know, that he's ready to go. And, you know, of course we're ready to go. We're always ready to go. That's what the United States military is all about. Okay, they're ready to go.
Then Syria is saying, we will surprise you. So I wonder what that means. Do they got something up their sleeve for us?
Syria said that if we attack, warned Obama, don't attack, or else the whole Middle East is going to be on fire. So we're going to see what happens.
Wow.
Hold on. Local caller, you're in there.
Yes, this is Steve.
Yep.
Yes, I know that you continually ridicule and poo-poo the religion that I always speak about.
Yes, sir, I sure do.
Well, yes, you know, they're looking for the, you know, the nations to try out peace and security. And what I mean by that, you know, that's the sign that Jesus talked about when he was talking to his disciples, and they asked him when would the signs of the conclusion of the system of things.
Okay, well, hold that thought, Steve, because we're going to go pay some bills right now.
Oh, okay, okay.
And the partially some things that they're going to be saying, yeah, I agree with, you know, but let me tell you this, Steve. If you believe that Jesus is an angel, you believe in a cult. Afternoon with Tracy. Be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends here, Jeff in the air chair here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, WSOM 600 AM on your iHeart radio dial, as well as on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. We hope that you're listening. We hope that you are hearing what's going on. Steve is trying to explain the biblical emphasis of this group that he studies with from time to time, that he's not part of, but he studies with them. All right, Steve, go ahead and tell us what you think.
Well, as I was saying, Jeff, is that it has something to do with the prophecy that Jesus foretold, and the prophecy actually really began in the year of 1914.
No. That's craziness there. Okay, so all right, go ahead. The prophecy began years and years ago. But go ahead.
Right.
But not really 1914. No.
That was when the disgusting thing began, because That was when the First World War began that year.
That
was when the end began that year. That was
no, sir. No, sir.
From bad to worse.
Okay. Okay. All right, go ahead, Steve. I told you I was going to let you go.
And, of course, as I told you, that was the year that they believed that, that he was appointed as a king over the nation. And
well,
it had something to do with the prophecy found in
the Steve, you're telling him I said that they're a cult. You know why? Because he was named King of Kings, Lord of, Lord of Lords, long before the world began.
You know why we read in Psalms it says, "Sit on my right hand, and I'll bring your enemies to your feet." And that was his father telling.
He was talking about what he was going to do, and he did it when he fulfilled the cross, Steve. That's how he made his enemies his footstool, because he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto... Stop. He has led captivity captive. He overcame death, the grave, and hell. Okay, because he's not going to destroy his enemies like that. And that's not what the Bible... No, it isn't. No, that's not what he says.
Remember, God told him you're going to bruise him in the heel, and he's going to bruise you in the head. He was talking about
No. You got it.
Remember in the garden where
you got it wrong, my friend.
Let me
tell you what it was, and then we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to do this anymore, Steve. You don't know because you said it incorrectly. The word was, he told the serpent. He said, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. And he said, thou shalt bruise his heel, which means the serpent shall bruise the heel, but he's going to crush your head. So now, when Jesus went to the cross and overcame death, hell, and the grave, that was accomplished. He was then set upon the right hand of God the Father at that time. Okay, in time. But don't forget, they're in eternity, so it does not matter with time. They look at time as a span. We live in it literally. So therefore, Steve, they are a cult. They have false teachings. Okay, I'm done, Steve. I told you, I'm not going for that one. They just are not the truth. If you want to talk to us on Listed Numbers, hit 1, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. The war is seemingly, we're going to make some strikes on Syria. They're telling us in the news media that it's a matter of when, not if, that it's going to happen within a few days. So they're giving them great warning so they can get out the way of certain things or hide whatever amount of equipment that they can hide before they go in. And maybe that's their agreement with Russia, so Russia doesn't get in and so China doesn't get in. But you have to understand that this is a showdown between Islam, radical Islam, and Christianity. You have to look at this, everybody, because that's where we're at. We're at a very great fight. And when our country here is antagonistic toward Christianity, I don't think we're going to bode well in this fight. Even if we destroy some things, take Assad out, the Muslim Brotherhood and the radical Muslims are not going to stop. They believe with their lives to the death in what they believe in, and that is making the world bow to Allah. Now, I'm not against you having Allah as your God, but when you're going to try to make me recognize your God is God, that's something different. Christianity is a whosoever will. If you have in history Christians that were forcing people to be Christians, they're not Christians. Because you cannot be made a Christian, you have to be born again. You have to realize that it's the truth. You have to realize what it is. Local caller, you're on the air.
Yes, me.
I'm not going to do this, Steve.
No, Well, last time, what you were saying, you make those witnesses do sound like they're a cult.
They are.
And I'll be honest with you, there's times I would like to believe that they could be God's true representatives, but as I'm really frustrated, I don't know for sure. Even though, I mean, and that's probably why I'm not a member of every religion.
But it doesn't matter, Stephen. That's you working. Yeah, Steve, myself. Nobody's interested in you working out your belief in what you're believing in. So we're not going to talk about it. I'm trying to be nice to you without...
Yeah, you are.
I'm trying, but I'm saying, we're not doing this. Okay?
It might be some truth.
I didn't say there wasn't... No, Steve, I didn't say there wasn't some truth to it. There is some truth to it. Has nothing to do with whether they are accurately describing what happened, and they are not. Has nothing to do with what the Bible says. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for bearing with me on that. I was trying to be nice. I can't do it. Anyway, we're in a debacle. 817. What part of Texas you in, man?
I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the home of the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy. Yeah, I got you. I love Dallas. Dallas is one of my favorite Texas. Very, very much a fun city that I have relatives living in. And when I was living down there, in San Antonio, I was in. I used to go back and forth to Dallas quite a bit, and then go back and forth to Houston to my friends quite a bit. So. I tell you what, I have no problem with Texas.
If we can, you know what, though, man? If we can get rid of Governor Perry, who's thinking about running for president in 2016, I think we'll be doing good.
You're talking about Perry?
Yeah,
you know what? I had hopes before I knew who he was. You know, I had such great hopes for him. And then one of my friends, who is a Democrat, he told me, he said, no, Green, he said, no. He said, Perry's a dummy. I said, what? He said, it's a dummy. You just wait. You'll see. And so, sure enough, Perry put his foot in his mouth so many times. He said so many stupid things doing that. I was embarrassed for him. That's what...
But there's rumors going on that Wendy Davis, who did that filibuster here in Texas, might be running for governor of Texas. I mean, but that's just the word on the street right now.
Well, I mean, I hear you. That's going to be very important too, because as Texas goes, so sort of does the nation in some things. Texas is the last real bastion of conservatism in America, and I like Texas' stance on some things. I like their stance even on the death penalty, et cetera, because I think they've been very responsible on that. But, you know, still yet, I mean, I understand the complaints, and they're legitimate complaints against the death penalty. And so, you know, because it's not meted out fairly across the board, across races here in America. But, you know, it's still something we need to have.
Yeah, you're right. So.
All right. Alex, you around there, man. If you want to talk, you holler at me. You hit that number one. I know you're at work, and you're still not coming up Friday, man. I don't know. You might be in trouble, my friend. You might be in real big trouble. But anyway, we're talking about the debacle over here in Syria. And we see all the people that are screaming for war. I see, who should I say? I see that, you know, John McCain is screaming, we need to go real hard. We need to do this. You know, he wants boots on the ground, looks like. Now, I don't know what he knows that I don't know, that we don't see. because we're not in that position. But it's going to be really hard if you go on the ground in Syria and you put some feet on the ground in that place. I think you're going to have some problems. South Carolina, you're on the air. And Alex, you're next.
Yeah.
Your line is open. Yeah.
I think you're going to have some serious issues there because, as well, because of the fact that you've got Al-Qaeda there. And even though you're fighting the same enemy, I don't think they're going to take – they're not going to take an opportunity to take a pot shot at the great Satan. You know what I mean?
Can I say it like this? This is what people don't realize is that the great Islam believes that they must start the Holocaust so that the last prophet comes back, and then he says that Allah will make a declaration that Allah has no son, and Jesus will say the same thing because he's coming back as the prophet. First prophet, and then they will go and they will reconcile the world to Allah, and every knee will bow down to Allah. That's what they believe. That's what the radical Islamists believe. That's what the regular Islamists believe. But the regular Islamists are just not, you know, radical like that to where they're going after and trying to make people be a certain way, you know, physically.
Oh, Jeff, stop it. Come on, man.
What do you mean, Jeff, stop it?
Does not the Bible say every head shall bow and every tongue shall profess? I mean, so you can pick
wait,
and choose
wait,
things
whoa,
from
whoa,
Islam.
Whoa, whoa, wait, wait a minute.
Hold
wait
on,
a minute. That has nothing
comment.
To do
can
with forcing them
comment,
to.
Please? Can
yeah,
I finish
but
what I, can I just?
Go ahead, all, Alex.
All I'm saying is that anybody can cherry pick a verse from somebody else's book and demagogue it as if they want to take over the world because they say the same thing. Muslims say the same thing about Christians.
Once again, Christians aren't forcing people to become Christians. You cannot force people to become Christians. The only people that were forcing people to become Christians were the paganistic Catholicism of yesterday. That is who was forcing people to become Christians. They were not Christians at all. All they were was a political movement that Christianized pagan holidays and a pagan religion and created their own church. Had nothing to do with Christianity. Once again, when the scripture that says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, is that done that at his appearing, not at the forcing of Christians upon other peoples of the world to have to bow down and believe. When they see him, they're going to know him immediately, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord.
Well,
that's how that works, my friend.
You know, I understand that, but, you know, it's still open to interpretation. Your interpretation.
I don't know why. I don't know why it is, but we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Two kids were taken to the hospital after a three-car accident between Gibson Street and Indianola Avenue in Youngstown. The accident happened Monday night just before 8. No word on the children's condition. Canfield schools are putting safety first a week before classes start. The district is participating in what's called ALICE training. It's a nationwide program that shows schools how to respond to armed intruders. The school superintendent says he wants to be proactive. And a 68-year-old Youngstown man is accused of collecting and distributing child porn. Back in March, an undercover FBI agent downloaded 3 child porn videos from the man's computers. Days ago, federal agents got a search warrant to search his house. According to court documents, the man admitted to downloading video and images of males and females ranging in age from infants to 17-year-olds. The man is in custody and will be back in court next month. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Put putting America and our valley back to work, recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Meredith from InfoCision's Newcastle location talks about what makes InfoCision stand out.
Well, if you just ask one of our employees, they'll tell you the people. We pride ourselves on hiring friendly people who care, and we keep them by maintaining a family-focused policies that let our employees balance their work and home lives. We believe that a happy employee is a great employee. That's why we offer a great benefits package, such as immediate health benefits, paid vacation every 6 months, 401k plan with a company match, competitive pay rate, and we also have, including in our wellness plan, an on-site doctor's office and on-site fitness center in all of our locations.
And how can people apply?
They can use our job hotline at 1-800-210-6269. Visit us online at infocisionjobs.com and apply there.
The best things in life are free.
The world has changed. The old ways of saving for retirement, they're gone forever. Today, you need Legacy Financial Strategies. Legacy Financial Strategies offers you the safe retirement roadmap you're looking for. Plus, tax-free retirement solutions. That's right, tax-free retirement solutions. To set up your free review, log on to leavealegacy.com. That's leavealegacy.com. Or call 800-264-4963. That's 800-264-4963. Today, you need Legacy Financial Strategies. And make sure to listen to the Legacy Financial Strategies radio show, Saturday mornings at 11 on AM 600 WSOM.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
Call now. 800-460-3580. 800-460-3580.
This time it's personal. Tune in to News Talk 600 WSOM for the local talk show that stimulates your mind and relates to you. Weekdays from noon to 3, Afternoons with Tracy and Friends engages the Valley in conversation about everything from local issues to important global topics. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Personal talk that keeps you thinking. Weekdays from noon to 3. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
This is News Talk 600.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Okay, afternoon with Tracy and Friends, and my friend doubts my words a lot of time here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on WSOM AM on iHeartRadio and at Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. The number here locally is 330-781-9600 and our unlimited internet lines 1-347-945-5229. Let me read one or two things here and we'll see how much of an interpretation this can come to. When the sacred months are over, slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Arrest them, besiege them, and lie in ambush everywhere for them. Next, prophet, make war on the unbelievers and the hypocrites, and deal rigorously with them. Hell shall be their home and evil fate. Okay, garments of fire have been prepared for the unbelievers. Scalding water shall be poured upon their heads, melting their skins and that which is in their bellies. They shall be lashed with rods of iron. Whenever in their anguish they try to escape from hell, back they shall be dragged and be told, taste the torment of the conflagration. Those that deny our revelation, we will burn in fire. No sooner will their skins be consumed than we shall give them other skins so that they may truly taste the scourge. God is mighty and wise. those that make war against God and his apostles and spread disorder in the land shall be slain and crucified, or have their hands and feet cut off on alternate sides, or be banished from the land. Let not the unbelievers think that they will ever get away. They have not the power to do so. Muster against them all the men and cavalry at your command, so that you may strike terror into the enemy of God and your enemy. Believers, take neither the Jews nor the Christians for your friends. They are friends with one another. Whoever of you seeks their friendship shall become one of their number. God does not guide the wrongdoers. Does that sound like the religion of peace, my friend? Just wanted to know. And which one of those did I take out of context?
Okay. I don't want you to, don't think that I defend Islam or anything, because I don't care about the message of Islam at all. I'm not a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I do, but however, I do believe, or I think it is good, is, the ideas proposed by the Christian church of, things like just war theory, the only times when you go to war needs to be a just war. I do also believe in the golden rule and treating other people the way that you want to be treated.
Absolutely.
But I see that in most so-called Christian politicians today are they behave and speak, their rhetoric is just contrary to that.
The term Christian is a problem though, Alex, because people think that because they go to church they're Christians, and that couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, I know it's a worn out phrase, but I know maybe some have never heard it. But I'll say it again. Just because you sit in a garage does not mean that you are a car. Doesn't mean that. And that's the problem. People don't adhere. I just had a conversation with a relative of mine that's a pastor. And so he's huge and hype on the president and what he's done. And so he comes on my page and kind of slaps back at me. And I say to him, I said, where in your Bible or in your denominational hierarchy does it say that it's okay to kill children that you don't want to be inconvenienced by, or that it's okay to normalize something that God called an abomination? See, because those people aren't Christians. They call themselves that because that's the religion they choose. But see, you don't really choose God like that. I mean, it's a little bit different. So go ahead.
I hear what you're saying, but also, if you're going to treat other people the way you want to be treated, I know mm-hmm. that you wouldn't appreciate a Muslim looking into your book of faith and pulling pulling things and using them to defame and demagogue a political issue. I know you
what?
Wouldn't appreciate that.
No. Oh, here's the thing. I don't care. No, I don't care, because you know what? I know my book. Okay, I know it quite well, and I know when somebody is lying, and I can correct them.
Yeah, but for instance, I mean, things are, when it comes to this religion stuff, it's so much up to people's interpretation. Because just like the verse that I gave you about, you have a certain interpretation, but see, what you have to understand is that there is a history in the Middle East, and particularly Christians in that area. When the Christian religion was formed, they had to try to establish legitimacy, which is why you find throughout the Bible where in Jesus' story, it kept referring back to the Old Testament to try to bring legitimacy to his, Messiahhood. Pulling from Isaiah or Daniel, different things like that, that people were familiar with of the time. And so even the verse that I quoted for you, or paraphrase, because I don't remember the exact wording of it, see, Muslims and other people in the area know that verse. And where that was pulled from, the reason, the writers, when they were pulling from that, that was pulling from Isaiah 45. I believe it's the 14th verse where it was referencing. I have it right here. Yes, it's Isaiah 45 where it says the Lord says the products of Egypt, the merchandise of Cush, and those tall Sabians, or Sheba, people from Sheba, they will come over to you and will be yours, and they will trudge behind you, come over in chains. They will bow down before you, pleading with you, saying, surely God is with you and there is no other God, blah, blah, blah. And so what you have to understand is that the historicity of it, that statement, you interpret it as an innocent statement, but people in the area realized that the Christians needed, they constantly, if you read through the New Testament, they constantly pulled from the Old Testament to try to establish legitimacy in themselves. That statement right there, everybody reads between the lines that, yeah, basically what you're saying is you want a new world order where everyone becomes beholden to Christian authority.
Well, once again, like I say, incorrect interpretation of what you're saying because of the one thing.
Why?
Has nothing to do with Christianity. It has everything to do with political Christianity, which is not Christianity. And that's the problem. You have to understand that Christianity was hijacked by Constantine. There was no hierarchy in the church with priests when the Bible clearly says that there was only one priest, and that's the man Christ Jesus. No one intercessor between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. But they made up a thing, Jesus is a man, so he's a little harder, so we have to go to his mother and pray. And that's just Ishtar worship. You have to understand and I'm not calling the people wrong because they're not bad because they believe that part, because they believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He is Lord, and that's enough for me. But my problem is with it is the things that were added to prove or to take over political structures. You know that the bishops had plenty of weaponry. They had wars between each other, and they took land. They made up rules. One is the celibacy rule. And what they make that up for?
Well, yeah, but that's you're talking centuries later. That's what the Catholic Church.
No, I'm not talking centuries later. I'm talking right at that. I'm talking at the time that you had Islam come into view, because Islam did not come into view until 626 A.D. You did not have Islam till 600 years after Christ. So you have to look at the history of what happened. I understand it, but the thing is the particular thing that we're dealing with, a radical Christianity is not Christianity, and to me, a radical Islam is not true Islam. Now, that's my personal take on that, but I may be incorrect on that, because like I said, that what I can't say. But you don't force anybody to do anything. God gave us free will. He didn't give us, I'm going to make you. He don't want to make us. He wants us to freely choose Him. But anyway, don't go nowhere. Local caller, you're in there.
Hi, Jeff. It's Deanna. How are you?
Hey, Dee.
You know, I was concerned because I was thinking about in the Old Testament when Moses was born and there was the edict to kill all the
children,
the Hebrew children,
5 years old and down.
Exactly, and look how those parents fought to, you know, to save the lives of their children. You look at you know, the same thing happening when Christ was born,
mm-hmm.
and the rulers of the political system knew that this, you know, this power that was coming into the world was stronger and would usurp their authority. When I think about these mothers and fathers who encouraged their children to be suicide bombers, I think that that has to be looked upon with a real concern, because you think what true faith would encourage a parent to sacrifice their child, when everything within us is that to protect and nurture them. And you think, you know, with abortion, with the suicide bombing, any time you see people who abuse and neglect their children, you know that that's an ungodly thing. And I think, you know, as I look at that religion, and we're not to judge, but we're to be wise and to discern. But when you look and you see that, you know, this practice of sacrificing your children to kill the children, you know, of others and innocent people, you think, you know, how can you justify that? And my husband and I were having a conversation. She was telling me that she studied the Quran in her church with their priest.
Mm-hmm.
And that any time that Muhammad had a revelation, he said that that would, as he was writing, he was saying that the newer revelations would displace the older ones.
Right.
And that's why sometimes you see snatches of, you know, peace and...
Right. We're going to have to hold it up because we got to go to our top of the hour break. We'll be right back after New with Tracy and Friends. You guys can talk inside the room if you want.
CNFriends.com.
Hello.
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 How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hi. That's good. This is South Carolina.
You know, I was just so concerned about what's happening in the Middle East, and you know, I feel we are very close to war. What will be gained from it?
Well, the problem you're going to run into, I think, is if you go over there, you're going to have to know who you're fighting with,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who you're fighting against, because, you know, like I said, you know, if Al-Qaeda is there fighting against Assad, and Al-Qaeda fights against us as well.
Yep.
If we're in country, as soon as they get Assad taken care of, guess who's next?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it
well,
could get pretty ugly.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
A friend? Yeah.
And yep. So you think so quickly the tables can turn. You can think you have an alliance.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you've, you know, banded together to take out that opponent, they'll turn.
Yeah. Yep.
Where
just like in Afghanistan, you know, in the 80s. Huh?
Right. Where do you think this nerve gas or, you know, whatever chemical warfare is there came from?
Iraq.
And do you think it was Saddam Hussein stockpile?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I believe that. I can't understand why there aren't people who will try to, like, connect the dots and show people how.
Well, they want to blame Bush so badly that logic is out the window.
I know, but don't you think somebody would come out now at this time and say this is what this was? Somebody would, not so much to defend him, but just to say that everything that we did wasn't in vain. We really went on a mission that we thought had merits.
Oh, yeah. But they're too busy trying to figure things out.
Hi.
You know, for their own. Hi, what's up? Yeah, but I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense.
Do you ever listen to Michael Savage?
Oh, yeah. That guy's a nut.
Last night he was really on a
in
rant.
In a good way.
The warmongers are going to kill your sons and your daughters. He says they're going to commit us to a war that they won't put their own, on the firing line. But he says they'll send yours. And he was talking about John McCain and John Kerry, and he said, I give Barack Obama credit for sitting on the fence, but he says the others are warmongers. And, I mean, he's really worked up.
Well, for me, it's like this. I don't mind going to war. My thing is, if I'm going to go to war, I need to fight it the way it needs to be fought.
Oh, I agree with that. The other night I was listening to a young man who said that they were sitting waiting for reinforcements, and overhead we had helicopters that could have fired, but they didn't because they could shoot into the sovereign territory of Pakistan, and they weren't allowed to do that. So even though they had air support, it couldn't be used because there could be bullets that would hit, over the zone of acceptability. And I thought to myself, it reminded me so much of what we heard about Vietnam, where they went in and they just fought a... what would you say? It was a non-offensive battle.
Well, for me, being an old Marine, I believe that if you're going to go in and you're going to fight, you go fight to win. And that's it, You can't have politics in war. It's just not going to work.
No.
That politics and war gets people killed.
Well, I was going to say, think how you would feel if you knew that sporting events were fixed and the team wasn't really in it to win it.
Right.
You want to believe they're going in to win the game. And if you don't believe that, there's no sense in watching the game.
Yep. That's it.
Hey, I heard on Michael Savage's show the explanation of why the Marines were called Leathernecks. He said it was because they had, when they were first fighting the Barbary pirates with swords, they put like a leather band around their neck to protect them.
Yep.
And I thought, all this time I had never known that. And then I am sharing that with as many people as I know. I'm fascinated to find out what the meaning is behind terms that we use.
That's why they call us.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure where the term jarhead came from, but
well, that was exactly
that's what
I was going to
Double Dog comes from the
347-945-5229.
Thank
you. Where did you come from? You just appeared in the chair. I'm sitting here. I'm starting the show out, and then all of a sudden you just appear and start talking.
I know. I'm here.
What's up with that?
I don't have to do too much. I'm just here.
You are you that I can pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Not quite. I don't do magic.
Turn around, disappear like that.
No, Jeff. I don't do all that.
You don't do magic?
None of that.
Oh, it's magic.
It's Tuesday. You know, I do Rotary. And actually, Oktoberfest is getting ready to come upon us at the end of September. And I'm getting ready for, you know, Bourbon Rotary. And today I had
It's going to be hot all fall.
I hope so. We need to have a fabulous day. They said it was going to be nice and sunny. There was going to be no rain. I'm looking to today. What in the world is going on?
Wait, you know what?
At 7 minutes after 1 o'clock, it's raining in northeast Ohio in the Mahoning Valley. What is going on?
I don't know, but no rain. They're messing with me. They are messing with me.
I don't want no rain.
I know that's right. Hey, D.
Yep.
Hey, why don't you give me a call right back? Let me get this other line.
I will.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
D. Local caller, you're in there.
Hey, good afternoon, Dre.
Hey.
Where you been?
In school.
Oh, okay.
Not coming to Jazz in the Park. I'm upset with you, man.
You met this guy. I slept all day.
But you blew it. You blew it. I'm going to tell you.
If I come to Jazz in the Park, I'll be able to meet this guy?
I don't know. He showed up for me.
I'm going to come down there. Next one y'all have.
Oh, this is it. This is last week, this week. But you, man, we had Babyface bass player. We had R. Kelly's drummer. We had a young lady that's playing all the smooth jazz stations.
I want to know who's going to be there.
The X-Men are there this week.
They're going to let me sing?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's their show.
Hey, but the reason why I called you, I was listening to your show. And, in my criminology class, two of the chapters was about terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do a paper on that. And I picked Hamas. But I'm listening to your callers, and they're mixing Muslim with radical Muslim.
That's what I was trying to say.
Exactly. And to put it in layman's terms, you're talking about white folks and the Klan.
Exactly. Because
right.
Because the Klan claimed Christianity as their religion, and Christianity does not tell you to hate anybody.
Right. You would be shocked how history repeats itself because I'm just going to use Hamas, but they're all the same, the radical ones.
Yeah.
They use Hitler's blueprint to gain the people's, support. You know, health care, food, medical. And then they indoctrinate the kids. And jihad means right to die.
Yeah. Right.
And they teach them, that's a good thing. You know, you want to do this. See, that's how they get somebody to put a bomb on their back, knowing that you get ready to die.
That's crazy.
If you can't, you get a Detroit pimp, he could talk me into doing that. Ain't nobody got that much conversation. but that's how they do it. You know?
If you want to go back and look at history, you'll see that there was an alliance with a couple of Arab nations during World War II.
You know what's really crazy? I heard a speech from Eisenhower, and he said not to get involved with selling weapons and politics. Don't mix them.
Right.
That is so true today. And that's why we think about sticking our nose in Syria. He's selling military weapons.
Well,
it ain't about them people.
Wait a minute.
You didn't do that in Rwanda when they got...
Thank you.
Genocide.
When they... No, and they're not thinking about doing anything in Rwanda.
They say oil.
Yeah. Oil? It got nothing to do with oil.
Yeah, it does.
In Syria?
It has something to do with weapons, oil, and poppy seeds.
It has to do with one thing. It has to do with the president created the Arab Spring, and it's now falling to pieces. And unless he overthrows Assad, they don't win. And Russia...
There's going to be another one to take his place soon to get him out of office.
Well, this is no doubt about it. But Russia and China are on the side of Assad. So you have to consider that. And that's where we're at right now. You go ahead and launch some things into the country, but you may end up getting something that you did not want
to
get back.
That's what I'm screaming. Leave them folks alone.
And then McCain up there talking about he want boots on the ground almost.
See, he's with the defense contractors. I would guarantee that.
Well,
that
could be.
Yeah, he's right in there with Dick Cheney and them following his blueprint.
No, but Dick Cheney and them ain't trying to do that like that.
Oh, he got his money. He gone.
Yeah, and I mean, but they had the thing balanced. There was a balance in the Middle East with Dick Cheney and Bush, et cetera, et cetera. There's no balance here. This is complete mishmash.
You know, I give you one more and I let the bells get on.
Mm-hmm.
Politics is so crazy that we probably lost our best leaders because we scared them away. And you know who the real president is? It should be Colin Powell.
I said you must have read my Facebook. Because
no,
you know, I said even though he's a liberal progressive, I said he knows the layout of the world, and at least he would secure the United States.
Right.
Maybe.
But he ain't gonna get
you think maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think there's no maybe. I think he'd
maybe.
Absolutely do
maybe.
It.
Maybe. Listen.
But I don't think he don't want
to
get caught up in that.
I'm to the place right now. I don't trust none of them jokers.
Well, I don't either.
And when I say that, you would think that they would do certain things a certain way, even though they have their own ideology. But guess what? We're finding that out to not to be true. And so
if Republicans don't even like Boehner, you know it's messed up.
Well, but here's the whole thing. You know, I was trying to explain this to somebody this morning that the reason why, you know, I said the Republicans are sort of putting up just as many progressives as the Democrat Party. Only
right.
One thing, that the Democrat progressives are winning and the Republicans are not. And so, therefore, you're going to have to look at something different because the people of the Republican Party are conservatives. They're not progressives. They're not going to vote for a Romney. And they're not going to vote for a McCain. And they didn't in record numbers. So that should tell you something, and unless you just have this death wish that you don't want to win anymore, then you keep putting up these moderate guys because they're not people want something to stand for now. They don't want something to just sit back and be the same as somebody else's, only as your side doing it.
And Ryan's not the answer.
You know what? I you know who I do like though. I like Ted Cruz, and I pray to God that somebody would drag Condoleezza Rice out.
Condoleezza said she kind of
kicked
off.
I know she did, but I just said I wish they would.
They're too smart for that.
Maybe.
And you know, the fifth gear is a little bit. Our rappers are like us because we done went crazy.
You're right.
Hey, good show, man. Listen to you.
All right, my bro. 330-233, you are in there.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey,
how are you?
Not too bad. Hey, I just really enjoy your show. It really makes you think about whether you're right with God right now or not. So I really appreciate it really makes your day. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Where are you calling from?
I'm on my lunch break today, so I mean, over here in Austin Town, so.
Oh, okay, so you're in the Mahoning Valley.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Did I hear you guys are going to the fair?
We'll be at the fair on Thursday at 12 noon. We're going to broadcast live from the Canfield Fair.
Outstanding. I'm going to have to stop by.
And I'm excited about that.
It's
so,
going to be fun.
If you get a chance, come stop out and see us. And if not, I'll be at the Republican tent sometime during the afternoons on the rest of the days.
I'm going to make a note of it to make sure I stop by and see you guys.
Please do. There's a lot going on. Do you go to the fair?
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you a fair person? Do you go to the fair?
Yeah, we have little ones, so Thursday's the real good day to go out there and let them burn off all their energy.
Okay, I understand that.
Absolutely. It's going to be. I think we'll have a good fair. The weather's supposed to be really nice the rest of the week after tomorrow. So opening day is Thursday anyway.
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. That's right. What am I talking about? Wednesday.
Yeah, I think Wednesday and Thursday are youth, like the youth days or something. So it should be a good time.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's going to be interesting this year. There's going to be a lot going on. I'm sure we're going to get quite a few visitors to the fair. It's going to, you know, we're the largest county fair in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's saying something. We're larger than some people's state fairs.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. So,
sure is.
So you think we ought to go in this war in Syria or what?
I have mixed emotions about it. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think we need to send boots on the ground because our military is really stretched thin right now, and some of these guys and gals are doing, you know, 3, 4, 5 tours, and that is not a good place to be right now. And I think if we need to do anything, we need to have as many of our allies on board and let them take the lead on it, and we could be more of a support role. You know, we are the greatest country in the world, and we have a duty to help people who can't help themselves. But it's just some other people need to step up and help out, too.
I agree.
Well, there's no doubt about it, but
we need to take ownership of it. I mean, we're not taking responsibility for anything. Nowhere. That's, you know, that's a problem in a nutshell. We don't take responsibility, nor do we want to own up to that which we should be doing.
I say we mind our own business and stay home.
I'm just curious to see where they got where the chemical weapons came from.
All right.
Well,
the ones we couldn't find. About a decade ago.
The ones that that all the intelligence agencies said were there, and then. Because we didn't find them because they had shipped them out by the time we got authorization to go into the doggone place, you know. But that wasn't our objective anyway, to really get those weapons. Our objective was to have a jump-off point to stop Iran from getting nuclear weapons. And that was totally undone and now, so all of those lives were wasted for nothing. Nobody's been liberated. No country is liberated. It's a mess over there, and you have what you have.
But see, that's what I'm saying. We go to war, and I don't know how Alex or you, Jeff, think about this. We go to war. We have a plan, and when we say that there was weapons of mass destruction, we politicized it the same way they politicized, you know, the election here in Ohio, and talking about. Voter suppression. Ohio has one of the best voting operations in the country, and we allow people to politicize it for their own political agendas, and that should be a crime.
Absolutely, because they're bald-faced lying.
That should be a crime all day long, and so we politicize the war, including the Vietnam War. Same thing. We make it about us and them when it should be about us. And about what's best for the country.
Right. I agree.
Yes. I just wonder what they're waiting on. I mean, I still remember watching the debate when the line in the sand comment, and now it's been crossed, so.
It was crossed last year, and that's the thing. That's the thing that's so crazy. It was crossed last year.
We're
going to take a break here. Yeah, hold on, Alex.
Kid.
Yeah, hey, we're getting ready to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends here on WSOM 600 AM. We'll be right back.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates.
And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com. Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal: ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
This is the Sean Hannity Show. Between Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and Marco and everybody else, we've got a rising group of young conservative stars that I feel very confident are going to solve problems and make the country a better place. And I'm tired of the Republicans picking the next person in line.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back and cracking here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. Jeff and Tracy. Tracy and Jeff hanging out today. Tracy, it is dreary as it can be out here on WSOM 600 AM on the radio dial.
I know.
And on your iHeart radio dial as well,
I know.
And on Blog Talk Radio at, what's your name? Something in Friends. Somebody in Friends that is on, I think it's Tracy in Friends. I think that's that lady, your name, excuse me. But anyway, Tracy's doing things. She's doing big things, and I want y'all to.
No, I'm not.
Pray for her. Pray for her that she be the son and daughter that God is looking for in this last and evil day. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, prayer I need.
We
no
all
prayer,
need.
Much power. No prayer, no power.
South Carolina, where you at, man? You ain't said nothing yet.
I was trying to be nice because I was munching on some food.
Oh, okay. Hey, check this out. I got that article you sent out. I appreciate that article. It was a good article. But you know what? the movie The Butler.
Don't go
Jeff,
there.
Really.
Why, Jeff? Why?
Chat my height.
Why do you want to go there?
Oh, my God. That was the most propaganda BS.
No, it was a good movie. Every parent ought to go take their child so they can learn how to do it.
I like the character of Cuba Gooding. He was a good character. I like the character.
No, you didn't, Jeff.
I like Cuba Gooding.
I tell you what, he told a joke, though, that was like, oh, my gosh.
That's why I liked it when he, oh, no, not the joke, but when they were watching LBJ on TV.
Yeah.
And he said the American Negro, and he said, American Negro? When he start calling us Negroes, he said that N-word calls uses N-word more than I use it. That's what got me.
You know what?
Because nobody wants to believe that Johnson said them N-words will vote for us for the next 100 years or 200 years.
It ain't true. It ain't true.
Okay. Well, his own man said it.
I got a tape of him saying it, but that ain't the point. It ain't true. Remember Raw? Remember Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy said, you know, there's something about folks that can sing. They can get caught in bed with another person and say, it ain't me.
Okay.
It's the same thing trying to tell somebody the truth.
It is.
Because their political party has become their religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. You're
and
right.
You can't tell them. They don't believe, even if they hear it out of their own mouth, it ain't true.
Mm-hmm.
They think you're lying on the people. I ain't lying on them.
No, but who has a dog in the hunt that we have to lie? Nobody wants to lie to prove a point. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to prove my point to you and give you the facts.
But still, I mean, it's not even so much proving the point. I'm not proving the point. I can show you the money, and you still think I'm lying to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Show you, you know, looky here, look what they did. No, wasn't them. They didn't do that. You telling a story on the people. No, I ain't telling a story on them. I'm being real. And they don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear. You can't handle the truth. I thought you knew that.
The truth? You can't handle the truth. You
can't handle it.
We need that sound effect. I got to do that one.
You can't handle it. And people don't like the truth, even when it's looking them straight in the face.
Well, of course not. Why? Why should we have the truth?
Because the truth will make you free.
Mm.
Alex, you wanted to make a point. What was it?
I just remember when I was
little.
It's actually Chris, not Alex.
Hi, Chris. And Alex is on there, too. Say hi, Alex.
No.
Hi, Tracy.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'm sorry. No, if Alex, well, all my point was I remember when I was little. Still remember, like, yesterday, you know, the president came through the TV late, you know, in the evening and announced that we just took out Libya. This is years ago. And now it's like we have to get all these different commentators and all these different comments about, oh, yeah, the Pentagon's aware of it, but we're still drawing up plans. Whatever happened to this, the element of surprise? Why does it have to be announced, you know, weeks, months, years ahead of that we're thinking about doing something? It's never understood that.
Oh, well, here's what it is. The political situation of what we're getting ready to do, we don't want to kill a whole lot of people. So we're letting them know, we all get out the way of all the military bases and place where they're making these weapons so that we don't kill you all and get in trouble in the world when the news media shows us up for it. That's what they're doing. It's stupid. I mean, you know, because the element of surprise, if they really wanted to knock him over, now he can hide his weapons. He can do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, it's just frustrating.
But you know what? It's not. Because we have the power to change it. The question is, will we take the oomph and make a change? Will we take up the initiative and make a change? Will we get involved? Will we begin to just not take people at face value, but actually make them tell us the truth.
I want to know why can't y'all just mind your own business? I mean, it's really none of your business. You know, let the Syrians handle their problems internally. And, you know, it has nothing to do with us. Let's mind our own business here at home. We have enough problems here to be worrying about some freaking Syrians. So what? You think they care that America has already dropped bombs on its own citizens? They dropped them on us. Do you think the rest of the world cares that they've lynched us for 150 years? Do you think the rest of the world cares that they have drone striked at least three Americans, and including one 16-year-old boy? Do you think the rest of the world cares? No. So
it's not about mind our own business and handle our problems at home before we start going across the world trying to dictate to people how they should behave. Honey. Me and you're gonna fight when you get home, so you know that. Listen, if we were in a euphoric world, I would agree with you. But you know as well as I do, America is not going to tend to their own business. We can't tend to our own business when they tell us to tend to our own business. We have a hard time with minding our own business. We just do. Have you noticed that?
Well, that's the reason why we have the problems that we do, and it's time.
You're right.
I mean, we have to stop. We have to stop at some point, and why not now? Right now is a good time to say, you know what, we are going to start minding our own business.
But we're not.
That would be great.
But we're not. We never have, never will. That's a commercial that said that.
No, we used to before World War II. It wasn't until World War II that we start getting in everybody else's business. But before World War II, we minded our own business. So we need to get back to that.
We can't get back to it. It's like going back and saying you're going to become a virgin again. What?
I think if you've gone out, had a baby,
and said, oh, I guess I want to be a virgin again, it's not going to work that way. I wish it would, but it won't. And I need to be honest.
People said the same thing about Germany. I mean, people said that Germany would never change, that it will always try to be imperialistic. And it has changed. It's become it's changed its ways, at least in modern history. So I don't buy that argument that America can never change for the better and America can't change
for the better because it chooses not to. We like things the way they are, and we're not going to make it better. America, we make too much money at tending to other people's business. We create too much power at tending to other people's business. Over in Ghana, I think they told them to take your money, your foreign aid. We're not going to follow your policy and your program, and we're still trying to jam it down their throats. America, for some reason, thinks that it is the boss of everybody else. And America, it'll take a long time for America to find out, don't nobody really care about you.
Do you really think that?
To me?
Yeah.
That America won't tend its own business?
No, that they think that they're the boss of everybody else.
Absolutely. They think that they, because of their power and because of their military power, they believe that they don't have to do what everybody else does. That they can, you just look at them.
Local caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Here we go.
What I'm going to tell you is that remember what I know. Warned the American people, I think about 52 years ago. Remember, he told us to, he said, remember, he told us beware of the military complex.
Industrial complex, right.
And so, in essence, because I think that our own government is pretty much behind what he was trying to tell us is that, you know, because of the contract that the United States military does with those who make armory. And this really goes back even back when he became president. He's seen what the military was getting ready to do when they were talking about bringing up when the third, you know, when the Cold War began between us and Russia, so to speak, and at the when the missile strikes began and stuff like that. So he's seen what was going to take place with the military. And so that's why he had to warn the American people that that was going to happen in the future. And I think that this is the situation that is taking place. You know, remember the United States and, am I on here?
Yes, Steve.
Oh, in other words, remember the United States and Great Britain, we are allies with them because we have something to do with British petroleum, and plus our own American oil. Man, you know, we remember, and it even goes back to the Bush administration to 1948 when George Bush and began to get involved in the oil situation. Plus, the Bush family goes even back to his father, which is George Bush W., his grandfather, where I can get his name. In other words, the Bush family has some royalty, so to speak. They were pretty much involved in that situation in the Middle East, too, because that our government, as well as the oil companies, are building refineries because I guess we wasn't getting much oil from our own country, so we realized it. And even with the situation with OPEC, situation to begin in 1973.
Steve, listen to this. I want you to understand this. We have a way. Now, listen. Let me finish. Hold on, Steve.
Stop, Steve.
Listen. This is what I'm saying. We have a way of becoming energy independent in the United States. And instead of us working at becoming energy independent and moving forward, everything we do right now is to try to make ourselves dependent on someone else. We won't even allow the research and the funding to go on so that America can become energy independent. And this is happening because of our politics. We can become energy independent in the next 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. We don't have to depend upon any foreign oil if we do this right. But I'm just saying, so you want to talk about Bush and you want to talk about why are we setting legislation? Why are we
I'm not here to criticize you.
I'm here to criticize the whole enchilada. Why won't we do what's necessary to advance our own energy so that we can actually, because other companies are coming over here and exporting our goods, and like China. And we don't
I mean, at the time when they did go over in that region, at the time we were making oil, but we felt, I guess at that time period, we felt we could get more energy by going over in that part of the region.
But Steve, answer the question.
You know,
why, I'm not going back. I'm going back to 2009, 2010. I'm talking about today. All of the policies that we're bringing forward today will not make America independent. And why won't America go forward and try to become an independent? So Alex says, tend to your own business. We don't want to tend to our own business. We want to be in everybody else's business, and we won't even take care of what we have here.
And that's probably why we're having the problems with the deficit, and that's why the world hates us.
So tell me, why is it that we won't do it? That's the question.
Go ahead, Alex.
I think eventually, one of these days, you and Jeff are going to come around and understand that the answer to all your problems is the libertarian philosophy. Eventually, you will purge your Republican ways and become a libertarian and preach libertarianism, because that's the answer to all this. You know, get the government out of the way, restrict it to its constitutional means. You tax people fairly and flat. That's all libertarian. But you know, and it's like, and it seems like you guys talk it. You talk. It's like you say everything
about libertarianism that's great, but you don't, you know, it's almost like you want to be libertarian, but you're scared to say it out in the open because might get laughed at, like peer pressure in school, kind of like that.
No, what it is I don't think the Republican Party and the libertarians are too far off. I think the representation of the Republican Party is off. Because most Republicans that I talk to have the same mindset as what we're talking about. They think the same way.
And let me add this, though. I'm not, libertarians are fine, but I don't think that they're
too wacky.
I don't think that they're the end all the be all, because, like I said, it's just like if Ron Paul is the example, then I think Ron Paul is sort of like a political, what do you call those things? The Rain Man. He's a political Rain Man. He knows those facts and figures. He has domestic policy down, but when it comes to some other area, he cannot deal.
He goes off the cliff.
He goes off a cliff, and it's just craziness.
Well, obviously you guys disagree with the Constitution and the founders on that and all that. That's great. That's okay.
No. I agree with the Constitution.
No,
but
you don't.
Ron Paul goes too far.
How?
You know, how? It's like when I was talking to Sticks, and Sticks was saying, you know, don't make any rules about how people govern, how they govern their property. Well, I have a problem if you park your car in your driveway. And don't tell me that you parking in your car in your front yard and leaving it there for 4 years is your business when my property value goes down because you turned your front yard into a junk zone.
Yeah, well, that's not libertarianism. I mean, that's just Styx's personal preference. The way the Constitution is written is that it allows the states and the local governments to handle all of their problems. So if a local community wants to, say, make an ordinance about, you know, cars in your yard, then local communities are allowed to do that. That's just Styx's preference, but that's not what you're talking about is anarchy, and that's not libertarianism.
But what I'm talking about when I hear that we ought to make all drugs legal.
Yep, you should.
I disagree.
I totally disagree.
Why do you think here's the thing. The government is nothing but force. The only thing the government can do is either destroy something, or if it gives something to someone, it has to first take it away from someone else. So all the government is force. That's it. So when it comes to people's personal habits, why would you expend government resources to control people's personal habits so long as they are not hurting anyone else? If we believe in a society of built on liberty, pursuit of happiness, and all that stuff, and I'm saying not just in a book stuffed away somewhere, but if we really believe that, then if you have the freedom to make good choices, you also have the freedom to make bad choices as well, so long as you are not violating the rights of someone else.
There we go. Now here's where we can say that. You're violating the rights of a child to not grow up with the influence of drug use in his face. He has to be enticed. He has to be acculturized to accept drug use in his face. That is not a good thing, because guess what? Crystal meth destroys. You cannot legalize crystal meth.
Why not?
Okay.
Why can't you?
Because if you do,
I'm going to pay for your kid.
Your kid is going to be killing me down the street when he goes nuts from hitting the pipe too hard and comes next door and tries to kill up my whole family. Or else I'm going to wipe you out and be so mad, wipe your kid out and be so mad I'm coming over and wipe you out too for letting him do it. See, you have to understand, the societal responsibility lies with the people, not the government. And so, therefore, the people must protect themselves against very bad things.
Okay. Here's the thing. What you're trying to do is you're trying to govern someone's behavior. And so then what it's going to come down to is, well, then who gets to decide whose behavior is appropriate? And it just goes on forever and ever, and then the government continues to grow. Here's the thing. We already have laws on books about what is legal, what is right, and what is proper. If someone uses crystal meth, and see what your problem is the crime. Now, if they go to violate you in some way, steal from you, maybe rob you, that is the crime, not that they took crystal meth, because people who don't take crystal meth still do those same things. Now, you can allow free society to handle and solve its own problems without trying to scapegoat different personal habits and it just ends up becoming another government program and another waste of money, and just creating unintended consequences in society.
You don't have to do that, though. See, what you need to do, Alex, is this: those things that are dangerous to people, like that, if they want to do it, let them take the chance to do it on their own. Don't legalize it. Don't legalize it and put it on Front Street, so it's enticing, that much more enticing to people, and they get this false sense that it's okay to do. That's where you have a problem.
I have no problem with states regulating it and saying, okay, well, you can't sell it in on a corner store or whatever. You need a special license to sell it. Or if states want to do that, that's fine.
But there we go back into regulation again.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with regulating commerce. But to say that someone, but then to criminalize people's personal habits, I'm talking about selectively criminalizing people, I think it's a crime against humanity.
You haven't seen anything yet, because once this healthcare law gets implemented, you think that crystal meth and smoking a little boo here and there is a problem. You just wait about where you're going to have the mayor of New York probably being one of the czars that's in charge of your 46-ounce drink you ain't going to be able to have no more. Local caller, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff, I wouldn't call back, but I'm going to ask Tracy a question.
Yeah.
When do you think you'll do another show on the public school system?
Soon, because I got issues.
Did you see the DOJ today?
No, I have not.
Filed charge against the voucher program in California. Now, California has a voucher program to get their kids out of failing schools, and the DOJ is filing suit. Now, tell me, good people of any color and race and any society out there, if the school is not doing the job, why is it bad? Why does Eric Holder and President Obama think it's bad to deliver those kids out? And don't tell me President Obama doesn't feel that. Wait a minute. Because President Obama went into D.C. and completely just in a stroke of a pen wiped out the voucher program.
Can you say
it's unconstitutional.
It's what?
It's unconstitutional.
Because of what?
Well, here's the thing. It's already unconstitutional that we have government schools. The Constitution does not lay out any to handle education. That's supposed to be handled by the people. But then if you do institute government schools, you're taking people's money, their tax money, to fund these schools, and then now it's similar to how. A lot of people rightly are getting on Obama with how they're taking our tax dollars to implement Obamacare, and then they're giving out exemptions to their friends. It's kind of the same principle. So you're picking and choosing people to get those to get those benefits, get certain benefits. And that, I'm sorry, but that's just unconstitutional. You cannot. It's wrong. The government schools are already wrong, but then to implement a voucher program is incredibly wrong.
Why is that incredibly wrong when first of all if you do not give that child a voucher, I can claim and prove my point that it is interfering with my ability to seek happiness. Life, liberty, happiness, and...
You're distorting that. You're distorting that.
How am I distorting that? That child that does not get educated and can't read by 12 is going to prison. 99.9% chance... He's going to go into a life of crime because he's not going to know anything else but to take something that's not his or go sell something that that's not legal.
Freedom. You don't have a right to somebody else's property, someone else's service, someone else's money. So, no, you have a right to liberty, but you have to go out and get it yourself. You don't have the right to someone else's stuff. And that's the same. It's the same thing that's wrong with Obamacare. You don't have the right to someone else's service, even if it is a doctor or a nurse.
I agree, but by and large, our societal standard has signed on to government schools. So why not allow the government schools to not have to be right around where you live? Because they may be doing a better professional job 5 miles down the street. Now, I'm one of the things like this. I think that we ought to have a county school system. I don't want all these little birds and all this stuff in school systems. I think the county or parish school system is where we should be going.
Jeff, it's very simple. That what funds the schools are people's taxes. That's the only reason why certain districts are better than others, because people choose to live in a particular area. They organize the way that they want to, and their tax dollars are organized accordingly to fund that county, that district, those schools, those public buildings in that area. And so it's not right to then for people to choose to create, say, a particular environment for their children and then to, then allow someone else, the government, because, again, the government is only force, then the government then forces, other forces the allocation of those resources to someone else who didn't contribute to it. I don't understand how unconstitutional.
Well, you made a thought and said that they didn't contribute to it, and I say they did by reason of whatever rent they pay or et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's not in that district.
Local caller, you keep calling and hanging up. I don't know what you want. But anyway, go ahead, Trace.
Oh, I want to know if South Carolina had any thoughts on this.
South is MIA in here. He must be taking care of business. But you'll see where we're at. We'll see where we're at here. True enough, in our area, the Supreme Court has ruled that it is unconstitutional to supply the schools by property tax. And to this day, they still haven't found a better way to supply our schools other than by property tax here in Ohio. Now, they've been given a mandate and an edict to change that system, and they never have done it yet. So, once again, what do you do with that? Where do you go? The children in D.C. had shown marked differences when they were able to leave the non-performing union strangled schools, which I think it should be against the law for there to be a teacher's union per se. I think that you can have a teacher lobby that would absolutely make sure the teachers are getting good pay And I think that, you know, I think the teachers need to be able to get paid more if we can. Because then we might not have so many problems.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a teacher's union so long as it's not a union in a government school. I don't think there should be any unions in government labor.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
I don't either.
I don't have a problem with collective bargaining units.
I do.
I don't have a problem with collective bargaining or fair assessment, but I do have a problem with the payment that they give and with the when they don't negotiate in the power of people, because people need to make sure that they have fair representation, and not everyone treats their employees right. So collective bargaining and making sure that you have a voice that can speak for you collectively, I think is not a bad thing. And because if you don't, people go run amok.
They can,
and they do, and you see that with some companies. But I do say the unions have become big business, and we need to quit acting like the unions are now this small mom and pop organization still looking out for the power of the people, because they're in bed with other people, and they're not putting the people that they're supposed to represent at best. They don't. You see that as far as our government is concerned, and you see that as far as unions are concerned, and we need to be honest about that. And I have a problem with that.
Well, huge problem.
I gotta take a break.
Now we're about to go to the top of the hour anyway, so we're gonna be out of here. And you know what, Tracy?
What?
This is one thing I meant to tell you.
What? You can't handle the truth.
There you go.
Alex, we're gonna be right back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, 724. You hang on in there. We'll be right back after our top of the hour news. You are in the queue, all you guys. We're gonna let you talk in the room. 724-843-412. You guys are large and in charge, so you go ahead and have fun. Trace, we're gonna be out at the mall this Thursday.
Yes, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yes, tomorrow.
Day after tomorrow.
And tomorrow I'll be here about a half an hour, about an hour and a half late. So please.
Where are you going tomorrow?
I got a meeting that I gotta go to.
So who's gonna be here?
We still on.
Seems like they want to break, I guess.
www.newstalk600.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Okay, she's here.
Who's here?
I'm here.
Oh. Where were you at?
You know, I got these newfangled headsets that you have to turn on, and I haven't turned them on all day long. Isn't that bad?
That's terrible.
I know.
I like those earbuds. Where'd you get those?
I can't tell you that.
Where's mine?
Huh?
Where's mine?
I don't know what you're talking about,
Jeff. Oh, see, I ain't talking to you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
724 is our favorite.
What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, man?
Just out here driving market share, Jeff.
Tracy's there. She can hear you. You didn't
How
hear
you
her
doing,
come
Tracy?
In.
Hello.
No,
I didn't hear.
Oh, okay.
Hey, the one caller was talking about the unions, and I guess I feel you, Jeff. They don't have a spot in the public arena, you know. And they served a purpose back in the day, but there's so many laws on the books today that you really don't need a union to do what they did in the past.
That was
that
me.
Being said,
that was me.
But especially that was you. Especially though in education, Tracy. I mean, every time that you try to fix the system, you always have to. You always get all these horror stories from the teachers' union, and that's just. For instance, there's a teacher. There was an article I saw the other day. Teacher in South Korea. South Korea is kicking our behind education wise, and this teacher, who is a high school teacher, made $4 million last year. So when you talk about not being afraid to throw money at it, that seems about like and those parents, because this teacher does online tutoring to students all over the country of South Korea. So the parents are choosing this guy. So this guy obviously is doing it right. And I don't bemoan that guy. If he's a great teacher, he's being compensated for it. But you go talk about the teachers right now and try to do some kind of system. Even Obama couldn't get his agenda, which he wanted to embrace something like that, where you had a performance-based pay, and it was quickly and promptly shut down.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, a couple of years ago, you had a head of a union say that the teacher was, you know, his constituency, and that as a result of that, he said when students start paying union dues, then the students will have to be constituency. The reason why I don't think there should be any educational union is for one thing. You're not producing widgets and inanimate objects. You are producing children.
I didn't say a union. I said a way of collective bargaining.
I'm saying
collect. You ought to have a way to negotiate what you need, because if you don't, they'll take advantage of you.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Then the people should have a systems made that allow that to happen instead of a union that is also taking off the top of the education. They're taking their dues. Well, that takes away from the teacher's salary. And when it takes away from the teacher's salary, the teacher gets that much less. Let's put some laws on the book and a system whereby our teachers can be compensated fairly, okay, which we can do. We can work this out where they can be compensated fairly, but also that their behinds can be fired when they
now, don't get me wrong, I think they ought to be
because they cannot be fired now. You can't fire a teacher.
I know.
And that's the problem. You can't hire another good teacher because you got a couple bad teachers still sitting in the pipeline and you can't get them out.
Don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to.
Well, I'm with you.
Because you know, I think if you don't do your job, you shouldn't come to work.
Well, but see, I hear that, and that's true. But here we go. You know, where are we going with this? You know, if our kids aren't learning, we're hit. Everybody's up. Yeah,
well,
everybody's
Jeff,
up. Alabama.
The teachers is the hypocrisy I hear sometimes, because I always hear about their professionals. They've got their graduate degrees, or most of them now got their master's. They don't tell you that school districts, a lot of school districts in their contract, help them get that master's with their continuing education things, but they don't want to be treated like professionals. Most professionals, if you're a lawyer, and you're a bad lawyer, you're going to go broke because nobody's going to come see you.
That's
so,
right.
You know, yeah, and it's the same way with a doctor. You, if you, you can go to law, medical school and spend $250,000, $300,000 to get your medical degree, but if you're a bad doctor, ain't nobody going to come see you anymore, and you're going to go broke. But teachers don't have that. They have the protection to where, and it's not all. And I, you know, I'm not anti-teachers or anti-union per se. I'm anti-teachers union for sure, because it's always, it's never about the kids. Although they try to play it, we're out here picketing for the kids. No, you're out there picketing for your members and you. You know, so
yeah, it's
I
not
don't.
For the kids. It's not
it's
for
not
the
for
kids.
The
And the kids are not learning, and then when you try to get them out of those schools where they're not learning, because you know the teachers union has settled in on things that they're you know they don't care. Why? Because their constituency is not the kids, just not. So I don't know how we get enough people interested in this to start, you know, really trying to put a system together. Why don't we have a brainstorming of boards of education across the country to try to do away with this?
I'm not trying to do that. Y'all trying to make a solution out of as bad as Alex. They ain't not gonna let that happen. What are y'all talking about?
I'm still amazed that y'all talking about all this stuff, you know, hammering over something that's unconstitutional in the first place. This shouldn't even be done.
It may not be constitutional, but it's happening every day. And the problem with it happening every day is that we have no choice.
Here's the thing: if you
just
didn't have any,
then the problem will be fixed. If we just stop, that's all we have to do. Just stop.
Well, I mean,
just stop. It's easier said than done.
Who's gonna educate people then?
The people. I mean, if you look at the best schools, they're the ones that receive the least amount of state and federal funding, because it's the ones that the better schools are the ones that have the better economic activity, and the people pay those taxes and have better districts. So, if that's what we need to be focusing on, is sound money, economics, and education would take care of itself. But what we do is we have destroyed the country from its root, the Constitution and our money supply, and then we have all these issues, and we're trying to address the symptoms of the problem instead of addressing the root of the problem.
Yeah, hey, I'm just reading something crazy on Facebook. Then how do we change how we fund? How we fund this?
You don't fund it. That's what I'm saying. That's the problem.
Yeah, but the thing is the kids have to go to school. And,
no, they don't.
And
the only reason they have to go to school is because there's a federal law saying they have to go to school.
No, they're not going to be able to do anything if they don't go to school.
They got to learn, and you can't ask me to teach them, because I'm having a hard time doing what I'm doing, sitting over here tending to my own business.
How did the kids learn before all this, before this whole mess of the federal government getting involved? Tell me that. How did they, what was going on then?
You had areas get together, and they hired a little lady to move into the community, and a one-room schoolhouse, and they taught kids.
Exactly. And so what's wrong with that?
It ain't going to work now. There's too much to learn.
No. Our kids are getting dumber now. I mean,
no doubt.
About it, the Sticks talks about it all the time, how, you know, by the 7th, 8th grade in the 1950s, they knew more than what our high school graduates come out with today. And so we can say that, yeah, there's a lot to learn, but they're not learning it anyway. So why do we keep throwing more government at the problem? The government is the problem, and we want to keep throwing more government at it.
But you, right now you're having a hard time convincing people what's really going on. I mean, we need to be – let's reel this in. You're having a hard enough time – people don't even know who the vice president is. I mean, we're talking pie in the sky, and people don't even have a clue, you know, what 1 + 1 = 3. People are so emotionally charged and motivated that they're backwards in everything that they do.
I think what's pie in the sky is to expect more government to fix the problem that the government caused in the first place.
But I'm not saying for the government to fix the problem, but what I'm saying is we need to be honest about what we can and cannot do, and a pie in the sky theory is not going to stop this.
Well, it's not theory. It's the only thing that's worked in this country. I'm talking about going back to the only thing that's worked in this country when we had a successful education system. I'm talking about going back to the only thing that's worked. So it's not a theory. It's not pie in the sky. It's the only thing that has ever worked in this country, and that's when we get education back to the local level, back in control of the people, and not by some bureaucrats and technocrats in Washington. It's only gotten worse and worse the more with No Child Left Behind and now Common Core. And there was stuff even before Bush's No Child Left Behind. But it's only made the problem worse. You know,
Larry,
the war on drugs and it.
Done.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hear you, man.
I just don't think it's doable.
South Carolina.
That's Alabama. Yeah. He never hits his button.
I don't know. He want to talk. You don't do it. Alabama.
Don't hit the button. He never hits his button.
No, I didn't say anything. I
you agree with all this?
On that one.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you really think it's not? Okay, let me ask this. Do you think that it's doable? Not that you agree.
I'm going to tell you why I think so, because I feel that we spend more money than anybody else, and you got to excuse me, I'm walking through the West. We're spending more money than anybody else, and we're testing in the middle of all the countries in the world. So, I mean, there's going to be something, you know, there are people coming from Africa, from the bushes, testing way off the charts compared to our students. So, I'm sorry. I think education is, and then quite frankly, I think you have to have an attitude that in order for the libertarian movement to work, and I'm not a libertarian, but I agree with probably 80% of it, just being straight up. I'm just more social issues or more, you know, Republican. But at the same time, I do believe the government shouldn't control people's lives. And I feel like when you start talking about education, everybody feels as though, okay, we have to be compassionate about those that can't. And the only way those that can't are going to be able to can is that we stop worrying so much about them and let them take care of themselves. And I know that sounds heartless, but it's not. It's actually tough love. And that's what Alex is talking about. So I don't see too much wrong with what he just said about education.
No, I said, I didn't say I didn't, I disagreed. I said, do you think it's doable?
Yeah, of course it's doable. There's going to be a vacuum created. You could give a student $20 a week per student, a teacher, and probably they'll make more money than they do teaching in these education.
No. Okay, let me rephrase this. Do you
Look,
really
I got to go back to my
court.
Cubicle, but I'm listening,
back,
but I'm
go
going
back
to my cubicle. All right, go
do
ahead.
You really, that's not going to work. I wish it would, but it's not going to work. I mean, I just like dreaming, you know, that I'm going, you know, marry Prince Harry.
Yeah, that could happen. There's a slight chance that happens.
I know.
If the Georgia Guidestones people have their way and they wipe out all the people in the world and you're one of the survivors, and, you know, they might want something different than just, you know,
it's not gonna happen.
The bloodline
no,
of there, you know, you never
no.
can tell, Trace.
No, yeah, no.
Never can tell.
I can tell you all that. No, they're not gonna let that happen. So that's not gonna happen, and especially with me being my age and him being his age, you know, that's not gonna happen. So
he might like them like that now, Trace. You don't know.
No.
He might like girls over 25.
It ain't about what he likes. What's permissible and it ain't permissible.
Hey, you wipe out that many people off the face of the earth. You don't know.
So we here we going pie in the sky, all that kind of stuff. It's not going to work.
Well, I don't know, but we getting ready to take a break anyway. We're going to be right back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio. Numbers here are 330-781-9600, as well as 1-347-945-5229. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Depend on your computer, then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Live weekdays from noon to 3, listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, global topics and news of the day. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Experiencing heel pain? Visit Dr. Prommersberger, Wyndham Court, Boardman.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back. Hey, we're back. Hey, we're back.
We weren't supposed to be.
We were back. We're back.
You know what? This
hey, we're back.
Up.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 34. You can go ahead and turn it on. I can go behind.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what we need. That's what I was trying to do, and it wouldn't hit for nothing.
I can go behind Marvin Gaye. Me and Marvin got a thing going on.
Oh, man.
The number is 347-945-5229. Jack's over here messing up.
I sure am. There's no other way to put it but that.
And so you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I hope you're having a good day today. We're just having some fun today, enjoying life, you know, just trying to get it right. What's going on? Is that the theme for today?
That's the theme of today. What's going on? Because I don't understand certain things.
What don't you understand?
I don't understand why we're going to war when, you know, because somebody gassed somebody when it was wrong for Bush to go because they gassed the Kurds. Why is it different?
Because it's the same weapons of mass destruction. Why are you
I told somebody, I said, you understand what's happening here. We're going to Syria to stop the use of the weapons that Bush never found in the
right.
Iraq.
I mean, it's the same weapons. You got to go get them.
Aren't y'all making an assumption that they're the same weapons? What did you,
oh,
you
no.
don't think Syria?
No.
You don't think Syria has the capability to make chemical and biological weapons?
They do, but they weren't using their own first. They used the ones that they got out of Iraq first. And they and the guy was sitting on the TV with the canisters. You know, last year when they used them, he was sitting on there with the thing with the Iraqi writing right on him. So I mean,
Alex, why would I go get new weapons when I got the old ones working just fine? I got to go make new ones when I got them already. They came.
Why do I use mine when I got somebody else's I can use? Saddam's not coming back to pick them up, you know.
I mean,
where'd he go?
Well, you know, I think that none of this really matters. I mean, even if they have biological weapons, even if Saddam had them, there's still no reason to invade their country because we sold them in the first place.
I agree with you, but we didn't sell them to Syria in the first place. We sold them to Iraq in the first place to, you know, to help them out with their war against, you know, next door.
And we sold it to them. Yeah, we did.
And so then you want to use that, trump that up as a reason to go to war with them when we gave it to them in the first place? And this is why nobody can stand
Alex,
the America, and especially, you know, the Republicans.
Alex, that's how
Republicans? Democrats have started all the wars except these two. So this is right in line with what Democrats usually do, my friend. Okay, so every war except the Gulf Wars with Iraq and Afghanistan were started by Democrats. Every last single one of them. So how are you going to come with that statement about Republicans?
Well, that's like half the wars. I mean, come on. I mean, we've been in Iraq twice, Afghanistan.
What do you mean half the wars?
I mean, in the last 50 years.
World War One. World War II.
Last 50
it doesn't
years,
matter.
Last
no, all the years,
years
that the United States has fought, okay, other than the War of 1812, you know, War of 1812 and the 1776.
That doesn't
okay,
count,
we were. I know.
That doesn't count.
So after that World War One, World War II.
World War I doesn't count either.
Yes, it does. Why?
You know why it doesn't count? Because the Republican Party was a different party back then. Republican Party is not the same.
It doesn't
it's not
matter
the
what
party that it used to be back then. It's
it
not
doesn't
the
matter.
Party that it used to be.
It does not matter because they didn't start the war. Did you hear what I said? World War One, World War Two, Korea. Okay. Korea, Vietnam, four wars, all Democrat. The only war that we start, the Republicans started and dealt with is the war in Iraq, Gulf War, and Afghanistan. The only two. So now, I'm sorry to burst your bubble and all of those ones on the far left that want to believe this stuff, but it's just not true. And Jimmy Carter really is responsible for you being in the Middle East because he blew foreign policy over there so bad.
Why you want to mess with my boy?
Well, he's having celebrations, you know.
I saw that. You guys picking with Jimmy.
Jimmy Carter's having huge barbecues down at his ranch.
The reason why Romney lost is because his grandson got mad because y'all was picking on his granddad. So that's why you got the 47%.
Uh-huh.
It ain't because he loves you. He's picking on his grandpa. And you know, you can pick on a whole lot of folks, but don't pick on my grandpa.
Don't pick on grandpa, huh?
Don't pick on grandpa.
Okay. Well, I'm going to just tell you, I hear you, but he's been having big barbecues, I understand. Very happy. Yeah, and now Bill is sending me messages. It says Bush didn't find the WMDs in Iraq because they were already in Syria by the time we got to the area, just like Colin Powell said they were.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
There's I don't know if you muted Alex, but I'm sure too he would say we came in the first place. They just released unclassified that information that we overthrew the democracy in Iran. The CIA did. So people responding in retaliation brought Jimmy Carter's situation to what we had already done. And I don't think the Syrians are stupid enough to release chemicals on people. We did that through proxy. What's going on? I mean, you know, that's what we're doing right now.
Well, here's the thing that I say. Syria, King Assad has said that this was staged by the guerrillas to get the United States all hyped up and get in. And I, you know what? I believe him. I believe him absolutely. I believe that they found that stockpile of weapons that they brought in from, Iraq. And I believe that they staged their own killings. Why? Because it doesn't matter to them. You have to understand that they believe that if they do wrong in the name of Allah, then it's good. Yeah, they can do bad things. Anybody that dies in the struggle, you know, automatically goes to heaven from what the radicals believe.
Jeff, I think sometimes you can understand sometimes that dad like that, but I think more times than not that is used to get us into a situation because of its expediency. And I think sometimes we get sold a bill of goods. I don't think that every time something happens, terrorists, then they turn around and let a guy go that blew up the Lockerbie bombing. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Now they're getting ready to invade for terrorists. No. Once they let that guy go, it should have been, wait a minute, these guys are a bunch of hypocrites. So I'm sorry, I just don't believe it. I think we did it with Al Qaeda, which is a branch of the CIA in the first place. So I mean, that's documented. So no, I don't believe them.
Well, I hear you. I don't know what we're going to find here, but it looks like they're geared up to go in, and you know they're doing this hype ahead of time. But of course Bush was lying about it, but of course Obama is scout's honor, so we put up two fingers and rush into a burning hell, I guess.
But that's what I said about politicizing everything. We politicized, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mm-hmm. The butcher killed him dead, and now we take his butt to school between two chunks of bread.
Pretty much.
Okay, so that's what we're going at. You know, and I've been wanting some lamb real bad lately, but go ahead, Tracy.
I'm just saying, we politicize stuff that shouldn't be political, and it's to the detriment of our nation and of our community and of our state and of our political system. And we have the best political system in the world, yet we politicize stuff that shouldn't be political, and we make it to none effect.
Well, of course we do.
But people don't realize that, and they don't realize that they're being played.
No, they don't, Tracy. They don't want to realize
it
either.
They do. They do. They want to know better. They just don't understand how it works.
I could take you some places, but it's so crazy. I wish I had this lady's article on where we didn't have to read it ourselves, because it's a really good article. It says Reagan, Obama, and the butler.
Oh my goodness! How many pages is that?
It's not that long. It's about two pages, but
I'll read it.
Yeah, okay. This is by a writer from the National Review online by the name of. Is your phone on the thing? Get your phone off that thing.
Thank you. Now you get me that. I thought I had it on.
You and Ben. I don't know what's wrong with it.
You know. It's, now I understand what happens on this side of the fence.
Before I read this article, I'm going to bring 314 up. 314, come on in. You're in there.
Can you believe with a country that's got debt after Kugluzu, high unemployment, and everything else, you got an ignoramus in the White House talking about bombing Syria?
Wait a minute, he doesn't have any choice. As one of my friends told me, he ain't going to stand by and let him gas his innocent people. But then when Bush, that's what gets me. He ain't the ignoramus. The people that voted for him are the ignoramus.
And who used depleted uranium armaments on Iraq and Libya? And hell, there's reports out saying that. And here's the point. If Syria used chemical weapons, then why would it let inspectors come in and look for them?
Saddam Hussein, the same way Saddam Hussein hid his, the same way Iraq is hiding theirs. I mean, Iran is hiding theirs.
Who would stand to benefit from this, Assad or the rebels? And there's no way in the world. People was talking about the thousands, the hundreds and thousands that Assad would kill. Hell, they don't kill damn near 300,000 people with this charade that's going on.
Yeah.
This is the most. Listen, Tracy. I ain't never letting you convince me to vote for another black president.
Yonky, sweetie, darling. You know I love you, but before you go too far, don't cuss. That's all I ask, because I feel a cuss coming. Don't say it.
And you had that whole bunch in Washington. I'm glad the next 50 years won't none of them be around.
You want to bet?
Well, you hope they won't. You see the rap?
They might be there because they don't have to deal with Obamacare. We do.
Why are you playing? No. Because I heard something on. I heard something today that they're gonna take. What's her name? Michelle. It's gonna be Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you make that a ticket, and then
it's gonna be Chelsea.
Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama. Michelle ain't that, and it never would stoop that low now.
Wait a minute. What makes
she might as well take off her dress and put on a miniskirt.
She almost got one on now, so that ain't nothing new. What?
No, Michelle, I tell you, the way she dressed and the way she dressed her daughters, and when they sit down, they pull the hem and they dress down below their knees, I wish that would be contagious throughout my community. I don't know about yours.
Man, I was impressed with Will Smith and his family when they saw Miley Cyrus. Their faces said it all. That
yes,
was like
they did.
America. Like, excuse me, what was that?
Exactly.
And you could tell it was horrible.
Exactly, but here you go. Like once again, you know, we're sitting up here with craziness going on, and nobody's
gasoline prices going up. People can least afford.
Kathleen Napolitano resigned today, right? Why is she leaving?
Time to go.
Yeah, why is she going?
Tell
Is Homeland Security on fire? Yes.
Yes. Time to go.
Is the NSA on fire? Yes.
Listen, you got pictures of what's his name? The guy who Kerry, Secretary of State.
I want to know you to know that the president is not going to sit around and wait while you gas your people. We're going to have action.
I'm just talking about the simple. He stood up and he's talking about weapons of mass destruction like he didn't know they were there before he got here.
I didn't know that there were weapons of mass destruction when you get in there.
You can't know.
That's what Mr. Kidd, that what he said?
No.
Oh, he did not say that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Anyway, that's Mr. Kerry. Mr. Kerry has issues, and his issue is that he had to come in and be the Secretary of State after Hillary Clinton screwed everything up.
Can you imagine having her for a president?
Who, Hillary Clinton? I can imagine that.
I wish I couldn't imagine it.
I can imagine that, and if we're not careful, she's going to be it.
I get so sick and tired. These, you know, like this marginal. Everything that moves is racism. The Declaration of Independence guarantees you the pursuit of happiness. It does not guarantee the outcome.
True.
And we
that.
Just and these people, some of these folks, and I ain't gonna use the word these people. I mean, they expect government to give them every damn thing. I'm sorry, Tracy. But it's just depressing.
But you know what we are? But you know what? If you keep on giving me, I expect more. That's the problem. They have lulled you into gimme, gimme, gimme. The song say gimme. Everything.
Tracy,
say gimme.
Have you ever poured yourself a bowl of cornflakes or cereal, then went to the refrigerator? Got the milk out and poured it on your cereal to find out the milk is spoiled. That's about how I feel right now.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And it's and wait a minute. And have a taste of cereal when you went and poured it. Not like you. That's what you eat.
And that was the last cereal in the box, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wait a minute.
With no milk. No more milk.
No more milk. But it's already, you know, poured sour milk on you.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm with you on that. But I've got to love, you know, I've got to love my country and think that we can do better. I think that people can do better.
They can do better, but the thing is the people that have common sense that, and see, Alex, that's what I am. I can't be what do you call them things? No. Yes, I'm crazy.
I heard they wouldn't let McClurkin speak at the march. You know, he was a converted.
McClurkin?
Yeah, they wouldn't
absolutely
let him speak.
Not. They won't let him speak because, you know, he said he was gay and he said God delivered him from being gay. And so now that he's delivered from being gay, he can't
speak. Isn't that something? You got a black group preventing somebody coming out with a black coming out with a man. That is, and that reminds me,
Obama,
back in King,
Obama
wouldn't let Baldwin
like
speak.
Habit. But let me say it this way. Obama dropped him like a bad habit after when he first started running.
Yep.
Donnie was out there running with him and came out and he started talking and said that he got delivered from being gay and President Obama dropped him like a bad habit and then them jokers came back around and voted for him. So you get what you get.
Yep.
Well, I didn't.
Here's the thing. You know, those that had enough awareness to not get carried along with the stream, that's one thing. But the one thing was there a choice on the other side of things?
There was a choice.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, I
not know. With the mentality of American people, it's not.
Well,
I don't think American people are dumb. It's just terrible. That's all. I said, let me call Tracy's show. Maybe I can get some sort of reconciliation.
You just want to hear my voice, but I love you too, Pianki. But you know, no, you get nothing here because it is what it is, and we can't do nothing about it.
Look, check this out, man. There's an article on the National Review Online today by Mona Charon, her name is, and she wrote this article called "Reagan, Obama, and the Butler." which president and sub, which president did more to help black Americans? And so that was, that in itself was real, you know, was real, you know, I wanted to read it. So I printed it off and I never.
Obama.
You'd go with Obama?
Reagan. Yeah.
Okay.
You know why? I'll tell you why.
Uh-uh.
Because Obama has done nothing for us, but Reagan did a lot against us that has hurt us. So
really?
I'd rather have somebody that does nothing than someone that, you know, oversaw the infiltration of drugs into our communities like Reagan did. I would go with Obama.
That I understand because, but the I don't.
Reagan said that drugs and homosexuality would bring down, was evil for it. It was the enemy of America.
I don't believe that Reagan did that. I think that that was a Bush 1 Cheney thing, and that's what I think.
Man, come on now, Bush was his right hand man. Bush was his right hand man.
But see, there was the difference is that Bush was out of the intelligence community. Bush knew more than Reagan knew, so you have to understand that he was his vice president. And being his vice president, he was one of the titular control people of that White House. That's why you had some of the things you had. But let me read a couple of these statistics and things that the lady was saying here in this article. It said, buried in the New York Times story about the economy was this arresting statistic. Median family income for black Americans has declined a whopping 10.9%. During the Obama administration, it has declined for other groups as well, 3.6% for non-Hispanic whites, 4.5% for Hispanics. But the figure for the blacks is huge. This decline does not include losses suffered during the financial crisis and the recession that followed, but instead measures decline since June 2009 when the recession officially ended. That's not the only bad news for African Americans. The poverty rate for blacks was 25.8% in 2011. The black labor force participation rate, which rose throughout the 80s and 90s, has declined for the past decade and quite sharply under Obama to 61.4%. The black unemployment rate, according to Pew Research, stands at 13.4% among black male high school dropouts. PBS Paul Solomon reports the unemployment rate is a staggering 95%. Does any of this affect the standing of the nation's first black president with black Americans? Not a whit, apparently. This is not to suggest that any president should gear his policies to one or another ethnic group. The president serves the nation as a whole, or should. But if unemployment, poverty, and the black-white income gap had expanded under a different president to the degree it has under Obama, the income gap is now larger than it was under George W. Bush. It wouldn't go unreported, and the president would not escape responsibility. The advent of an African-American president surely brings psychic dividends to black Americans and the rest of us to a degree. But those intangibles may be pretty much all they get from this presidency. In terms of material prosperity, his leadership has delivered nothing but decline. He plays the psychological card very skillfully, showboating his identification with Trayvon Martin and sticking up for Henry Louis Gates Jr. But more and more, his gestures in this regard seem like substitutes for results. Black poverty is up. Employment is down. Wealth is down. The dissolution of the black family continues unabated, with 72.3% of black children born to unmarried mothers. Black males constitute just 6% of the population, yet comprise more than 40% of those incarcerated in state and federal prisons and jails. I feel a difference about that. I think that's unfair sentencing, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of that. One-third of black men aged 20 to 29 are in the purview of the criminal justice system, incarcerated or on probation or parole. last thing I'm going to read about this and, right now and, because we're getting to the end of the day.
Will be back tomorrow.
In the 1960s, the gap between black and whites was $19,360. Now it's damn near Now it's $28,000.
You know, Pianchi, I got an uncle like you. And he promises me he going to come on here, and I won't let him on there because he ain't going to act right. And I know it. He's actually, I think he might be worse than you because that ain't his word. But I got an uncle like you.
Well, check this out. This is one of the things that's important. This one little section right here. The press resolutely ignores these figures while the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party in Hollywood serves up distorted history to distract and pacify the public. The latest entry appears to be The Butler, which misrepresents President Reagan, as I gather from those who've seen it, as at its best insensitive to blacks and at worst as a racist. Eugene Allen, the actual White House butler on whom the film is supposedly based, kept signed photos of Ronald Reagan and Nancy in his living room, pictures of the other presidents he had served and hung in the basement. According to a 2008 Washington Post profile, Allen served 8 presidents for 34 years until his retirement. He did not, as the movie portrays, resign to protest Reagan's policies on civil rights or South Africa. His wife happily reminisced to the Post about the time the couple were invited by the Reagans to attend a state dinner in honor of the West German chancellor. Drank champagne that night, Miss Allen recalled with pleasure. The film apparently depicts the invitation as tokenism. The filmmaker also insert a horrific childhood memory for Allen. His mother being raped and his father shot by a white landlord didn't happen. Would it interest black moviegoers to know that under Ronald Reagan's policies, median African-American household incomes increased by 84% compared with 68% for whites? The poverty rate dropped during the 1980s from 14% down to 11.6%. The black unemployment rate dropped by 9 percentage points. The number of black-owned businesses increased by 38%. But you know what? Here's the thing about under Ronald Reagan.
You only got a few minutes, Jeff.
I'm just saying. And receipts more than doubled. So that means during Reagan, like I said, and like I told everybody for the last 6-7 years, that black middle class grew by leaps and bounds up under Ronald Reagan. They did quite well.
Did I tell you, Jeff, have I told you they ain't going to believe that?
Ronald Reagan made sure that the black butlers got paid the same as the white butlers. Now,
can I just say real quick why that's disingenuous?
Yes, it is in there. Yes, you can, Alex. Go ahead.
The article is disingenuous because it seems it paints a picture as if Ronald Reagan actually cared about black people. He didn't care. See, the thing about this is that, yeah, black people did better, but it was only because the country was doing better. You know, it's like if America catches a cold,
so
we get the flu or pneumonia. The only reason we were just getting some crumbs or leftovers from what mainstream society was getting under Reagan. He didn't do anything specifically to help African American people. The country was doing better then,
during Reagan, we had enough sense to put a coat on when we went outside. With Obama, we went out plain buck naked.
This is the issue. You know, you don't have to do something for me. You just have to give me a level playing field and open up the door, and I'll get it myself. The problem that
he
we have right
that.
Now. Hold on, no. You, if you wanted to go out and get your business, if you wanted to go out and do something, you could go and do it a whole lot easier with Reagan than you can right now. Right now, you are stifled from even playing in the field. So if it's hard for a white man, you know it's hard for a black man and or a woman. And I'm not asking for special treatment. All I'm asking for is to get out the way and let me do what I do so I can be self-sufficient. That's the issue. You don't have – I mean, I'm American, so I don't need a special program to put my face on it. I just need access to it.
Why is there such hatred for Reagan?
Because
he was a Republican.
And he
put down the Soviet Union. He was an effective president. I did not like Ronald Reagan.
I wasn't a Reagan fan.
No, but I was not. I definitely wasn't a big head Nazi fan, because Nancy made that statement to the press right out in the open. They said, well, what are you going to do, you know, with the African-American, you know, constituency now that Mr. Reagan is president? She says, I guess I'll have to deal with them. So my point is this. I don't care whether you like me or not.
This is not about I
don't need you to like me. But the thing is open up the system so we can access it. Reagan opened the system.
And our problem is we're looking for somebody to be our friend. I'm not looking for no friend.
I ain't looking for no friend. I don't care nothing about you.
They wouldn't let you speak at the March Neva talking like that.
Oh, no. Heck no. No. You know.
And I was smart enough not to get on the bus. Why are you playing, Pierre?
We'd get lynched on that bus, man.
Man, I ain't
sure would. They would have beat. They would have hazed you to death.
No, I learned when to keep my mouth shut. Absolutely not. I ain't playing.
They would have hazed you on that bus.
The reason people don't like Reagan is because crack was introduced into our community under his watch. That's why people don't like him. And that's when police brutality.
Crack was around before then.
Police brutality exponentially went through the roof.
Police brutality been around since the beginning of time. But let me say it this way. You can't say crack was introduced. Crack didn't have to be introduced. Crack was nothing but freebasing. Freemason been around since the
60s. No, I mean there's already records that the CIA actually created crack and it was peddled into our community.
Well,
crack been around since before that. Crack is freebasing.
The CIA brought it.
No. We were freebasing a long time. That ain't
ask Richard,
you
can ask Richard Pryor.
You got to realize this. We've been doing drugs for a long time, and we've been trying to stretch drugs for a long time, and that's what freebasing did. It got you high quicker, faster. That's not new. And that's been going on for a long time, way before they just gave it a new name. And they started
crack.
The sentencing guidelines, you might be able to blame somebody for. But crack itself.
Ronald Reagan.
Crack's been around for a long time.
Yeah, but Ronald Reagan, you know, his Department of Justice department just was horrendous when it came to black people, when it came to sentencing, when it came to just everything.
Hold on, Alex. Tomorrow we'll pick up again.
Yeah.
But we also got to understand black folks were up on making sure the sentencing was really, really stringent at that time, too, because it was affecting them. See, we sign on the stuff until it starts backfiring on us because we don't think ahead. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We'll see you again tomorrow. God bless you and have a wonderful afternoon.
See ya.
Spend it all, the have not money. We make it before we see it. You take it. Oh, make me wanna holler the way they do my life.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. New